Reading from Colossians 2, verses 1 through 7. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me back. I thought that this was pretty special that Brian shared about the dogwood tree and that the songs were talking about the trees. And I mean, everything started kind of tying in because this scripture talks about us being rooted in Christ. And so I love how the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways like that. A little back history to this piece of scripture of what's happening. There's a friend of Apostle Paul called Epaphras. I can't say it. Epaphrades. I'm saying it wrong again. He started a church while Paul is in prison. And then at some point he goes and visits Apostle Paul in prison and lets him know about the people, the Colossian people. And says how they're doing well overall. However, the pressures of culture has been pushing them further and further away from Jesus. And that's a concern for him. So Paul writes this letter. And so the whole backstory of Colossians 2:1-7 is about the encouragement for believers to be united in love and understanding in God's mystery of Christ, and to continue in their faith rooted and built up in him, guarding against deceptive worldly philosophies and striving for thankfulness and spiritual growth. Now, Paul and Timothy get together to write a letter to their friends of Colossae, and the reason for this gathering is to address the concerns and challenges facing the Colossian believers. Paul and Timothy have heard reports of false teachings and philosophies creeping into the church, causing confusion and division among believers. As they sit together, Paul pours out his heart in prayer for the Colossians, expressing the deep love and concern for their spiritual well-being. He urges them to remain steadfast in their faith to Christ and rooted and built up in him, and not to be swayed by persuasive arguments or human traditions. In verse 7, it speaks to the importance of having a strong foundation in our faith. Just as roots of a tree that keep it grounded and nourished, rooting ourselves in Christ makes us likely to be swayed by false teachings. If we're not rooted in Christ, that it is likely to sway us by false teachings and deceptive messages that may lead us astray from the truth. Paul essentially is telling the Colossians that without Christ, you have nothing, and with Christ, you have everything. So one morning, it was 10:30 a.m., and I'm sitting in church facing the front, looking at the empty cross, and the benches are starting to fill up. People are coming in. They're greeting each other with smiles, and you could overhear their weekly checking conversations with each other, and you can sense the joy of connecting with each other. The beginning of the service just flew by with a few songs, church announcements, prayer requests, which the pastor concluded in with prayer. He begins his sermon. I usually have a notepad or a piece of paper that I pull out of my purse to jot down notes from the sermon and message of things that I want to remember throughout the week and focus on. So as the pastor was in the beginning of his message, I began to write some of the lines down that he's speaking of, such as, Lord is good, The Lord is God, the Lord is love and faithful. All very good points for me to reflect on and remember later, right? So the pastor went into his personal story and shared how he had to ghost his friend who was in need because he had returned to his old ways of addiction. I found myself staring at the notes that I had written, Lord is God, the Lord is good, the Lord is love and faithful. I was hanging on to these three statements, looking down at my notes until I heard him say, sometimes God has to ghost us for a time to bring us to repentance. My head jolted up, looking forward in disbelief. My heart fell to the words that I had read earlier in the Bible that morning before I left for church. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When I read that verse, it didn't quite hit me the same as it had hit me while I heard his words and it came to me. I sensed something was off, the unsettling uncertainty that those words he spoke were true of God's character. Did they align with the notes mentioned in the beginning of the message that I had been gazing at? The Lord is God, the Lord is good, the Lord is love and faithful. I want to disclose that pastors are human too. They have feelings, opinions, their own life experiences that shape their viewpoints and can sometimes say things they want to roll back up and stuff back in there. And don't we all find ourselves in that position at times that we just want to put it back in and can't believe it came out of our mouth, right? But looking back, I didn't feel the need to shout out, what are you talking about? God ghosts us sometimes. I felt God wasn't either wanting me to go to the pastor after the service to let him know that I was in disagreement of what he said. And I didn't have the need to go and say to my neighbor friend in the church that I disagreed with him and what was he talking about. But what happened is I went home after church, ran back to my bedroom, grabbed the big book, opened it up, because I started to question me, how I took it. How did I disagree with him, and why? Why? Where was that coming from? And where was it coming from that he said? So I knew that the words in the big book were truth and that I should not be deceived by the statement. I mean, did I interpret scripture correctly? Have you ever had those moments where you read or heard something pertaining to God or Jesus' character from someone's word of mouth, not directly read out of the Bible, and you start to second guess what you know and what you understand? Maybe there was a time that someone said something with you with such confidence in their voice that you walked away and said, well, I trust them, and they said it with confidence, so it must be true. Well, I feared for maybe a nanosecond that I might get it all wrong and that I wasn't understanding what he was trying to share in his message. I mean, after all, in the Bible, it said in Proverbs 4:14, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. And if I turn to 1 Corinthians 15:33, it tells me do not be deceived by bad company. It ruins good morals. So maybe he's explaining about his reasoning for staying away from his friend, but then that doesn't explain why God would ghost us until we repent. But scripture does say in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God promises to hear us from heaven if his people humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways. At this time, my head's spinning because I just don't know. I'm not the professional, I don't have the theology degree, and I'm questioning what I heard and how I'm interpreting it. So I think to myself, wait, that's my answer. God promises to hear us, right in that scripture. That's my confirmation that he doesn't ghost us or abandon us. He's right there waiting, listening, and loving us. So to understand that God will never abandon us, I had to consider these key scriptures I found during this time and the concepts that they brought that presented the truth, because it was right from Scripture. So Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Boy, I needed to hear that. It had to confirm what I knew inside, what triggered that questioning in my heart when those words were spoken in church. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Matthew 28:20 says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age, till our last breath, until we're sitting at the table with him." Psalm 139:7-10 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" That means no matter where we go or how we try to hide, he's still there with us. He sees everything. He hears everything. He is all-knowing. Hebrews 13:5, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." And Romans 8:38-39, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Nothing. No sin can separate us if we still know him and we want him to help us. He's right there with us. He doesn't ghost us. He's right there. He's waiting for us. He's loving us, waiting for us. So let us walk away today with Apostle Paul's words for thought. Paul writes, "My goal is that maybe that you will be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Remove any doubt or fear by knowing the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge, because they are found in knowing Christ. Be in his word daily, so that the truth of God can be with you always." Put your hope in being encouraged in heart, united in love, experiencing the spiritual fullness of Christ. The mystery of God in Christ is in whom you will find the hidden treasure of wisdom and knowledge when you keep the word of Scripture close to your heart. So how firm is your faith in Christ? Living a life rooted in Christ means being firmly established in faith, just as a tree is deeply rooted in the ground. This kind of faith is not just a casual belief, but a foundational trust in the work of Jesus Christ. We are all called to continually build our spiritual roots through prayer, studying the Word of God, and seeking his wisdom and guidance in all aspects of our lives. And remember, a tree can rot, it can be infested by bugs and eventually die. It needs water. It needs sun. So the Scripture and the Word of God and your relationship with Jesus Christ is what keeps it healthy and growing. It protects it. We can withstand the winds of doubt, fear, and temptation that try to uproot us by being rooted in Christ. We can draw our strength and wisdom from Christ, allowing him to be the source of our hope, joy, and peace. Just as a tree draws nourishment and strength from its roots, when our lives are deeply rooted in Christ, we are able to bear fruit in every good works, as our faith and actions will then align with his will and the purpose of our lives. So dive deep into the understanding of God's truth. fending off misleading worldly ideas, striving to enrich your faith and to gain wisdom. Your life can be a powerful testament to Christ, for Christ is everything and all that we need. Are you ready to strengthen your faith and stand strong no matter what the challenges come your way? Let's close in prayer. Lord, help me to stand firm in my faith. Let nothing move me in any direction away from you. I stand rooted upon the ground in which you hold me steady and upright. Let my heart pour out love, united with other believers, so that if I stray, they will point me back to you. Amen.